The 1950s showed us a large interest in the new field of science fiction. Rocky Star Space Ranger was a possible cross between the Lone Ranger and science fiction. Isaac Asimov, under the pen name Paul French, wrote a number of books featuring Rocky or Lucky Star. They were probably an influence on the writers of this series. Here's Rocky Star on the Mystery Planet, starring Rhys Hyatt as Rocky Star.
American Radio Theater presents an episode from the lost old-time radio series, Space Ranger. From out of the future, down the dark corridors of time and space, intrigue, mystery, and danger, comes the man of tomorrow. Of the future on strange and far-off worlds with Rocky Star, Space Ranger.
Rock Ranger reporting, Commodore Bradford.
You're blasting for Jupiter immediately, Rock. Hendrik Pittman, the famous explorer, has disappeared in space.
What's my assignment?
Find him.
Rocket ship Ranger 9 blasted down the long, smooth runway and nosed its way into space. As it did, a picture of Jupiter, the mystery planet, blasted in front of me. It was a cold, bleak picture. A world of ice, ammonia seas, lava cliffs, with a mist hovering over the planet like a cloud of cosmic dust, and stalking shadows casting reflections of the inevitable death. Flaps Anderson, my assistant, summed up our mission with a few well-chosen words.
Find Hendrik Pittman on a planet that's 90,000 miles in diameter? Jumping Jupiter! That isn't an assignment, that's a career!
If Hendrik Pittman is alive, Flaps, it is possible to find him.
Yeah, if he's alive.
Yeah?
Skipper, this is Gale. I'm in the control booth with Steve Pittman. He'd like to go over the maps with you of his father's trip.
I'll be right in, Gale.
Well, I hope for Steve's sake that we find his father. I still think it's like looking for a Martian desert cat on Venus.
We'll do the best we can. If you want me, I'll be in control.
Right.
Steve's plotted a location where he thinks his father's ship, the Explorer, might be found, Skipper.
Yes, here on the map, see?
The Ammonia Sea area, huh?
What do you think?
What makes you so sure that this could be the location?
The last I heard from Dad on the visograph, they were circling this area, trying to find a suitable landing place.
It's at least minus 200 degrees Fahrenheit there.
But the Explorer is a big ship. They have plenty of equipment on hand and can protect themselves against almost anything.
Providing they made a safe landing.
Then, you don't think my father's alive?
Space is a strange place, Steve. Few people understand it. The things that happen out here are sometimes unexplainable. But when it's happened to you, you can believe anything. Your father was basically a scientist, a good one, and so is his crew. Landing a ship and staying alive takes more than scientific formulas.
If anyone can find your father, Steve, I'd bet my credits on the skipper.
I do have an idea.
What's that?
Several Earth years ago, a Universe Federation ship, the Infinity, circled Jupiter. The crew reported that they saw a dark band several hundred miles in width around planet Jupiter. And they had a feeling that they were looking into a deep chasm.
Did they investigate it?
Not at the time. They were carrying a special government cargo and didn't want to take a chance.
Did anyone ever investigate it?
Yes. In 2750, two men from our department, the SID, went to Jupiter and found the dark band the Infinity crew reported on. They reported to Nova City Spaceport that it looked like an optical illusion. But they were going to land on it, or in it, or whatever, if they could.
Did they?
They were never heard from again.
But what could the dark band around Jupiter mean to us?
It might mean your father is alive. Yes, space is a strange place, and what happens out in it is even stranger. The SID had reasons to believe that the so-called dark band was a cleavage in Jupiter's outer shell, and that intelligent life could live inside it. But the most important thing was, if intelligent life existed, what type? And what was the world within like? That was a part of my assignment that I couldn't tell anyone, not even the crew, because I had secret orders to investigate the world within. At any cost.
Hey, look, Skipper. There's another volcano on the surface of the planet.
A lot of them on Jupiter, Flaps.
That stuff coming out of them. What is it?
Hydrogen flames and lava.
It's a cinch that nobody could live down there. Gives me the creeps.
Yes?
Skipper. Check your master scanner. Steve thinks he sees that dark band you were talking about.
What's your reading from the scanner, Gale?
5 points WC back to 2/6.
That could be it. Keep all scanners in focus, Gale. We'll soon know if that's the dark band or not. With all the scanners trained on the dark object in the distance, each pulse beat of our hearts kept time with the powerful throb of the Ranger 9 rocket motors. Cliffs of huge glistening ice and lava soon blended with the misty sea of liquid ammonia rising from the planet, and a veil of mystery cloaked Jupiter. Then we saw it. Yawning below us was a vast black chasm.
It looks like an optical illusion.
Or a big Venusian swamp tiger yawning in your face.
Cut forward acceleration, Flaps.
You're not going to try to go through it?
If it's possible.
But what if it's just a... nothing.
Do you know what it feels like to go through nothing?
No.
Neither do I. The black chasm was one of nature's freaks, and as we neared it, a sea of darkness loomed up outside. We threw open the rear scanner for backlight, which made everyone believe that the chasm was a bottomless pit. Then we glided through the opening of the planet's outer shell, and nothing stopped us. We kept going. There had to be an end someplace, or we would go completely through the middle of the planet. But what was at the end?
Look, in the rear scanner, it's getting lighter.
But where are we, and how did we get through?
The ice cliffs on the outer surface evidently are high enough to keep the ammonia seas from overflowing.
But you can't go through the middle of a planet.
Like the little bumblebee. According to science, it can't fly because its body is too big for its wings. But the bumblebee doesn't know this, so it keeps flying anyway. We know we can't go through the middle of a planet, but here we are.
Look, to the right in the scanner.
Green patches. That means only one thing. Living plant life. But this is too far-fetched. There is no life on Jupiter.
We're not on it. We're in it. Still zooming into the heart of Jupiter, our scanners recorded objects below that were unbelievable. Giant trees, huge fern-like growths, and animals with a prehistoric makeup. The atmosphere reader spun around and settled on a fact that was impossible. The atmosphere was balanced for Earth life. In the middle of a giant crevice, we were looking at Earth as it could have been thousands of years ago.
Skipper, there was a flash below. To our left.
We'll swing around. Accelerate motors.
There it is. Metallic. Shining.
Skipper, it's a spaceship.
And it's standing on its fins just as though it was ready to blast off.
Slip the magnifying glassite over the scanner. Maybe we can read the name of the ship.
It's my father's ship. The Explorer. Then he's alive.
It's possible, but let's not get any false hopes up. Flaps, keep on the alert for a landing spot.
I knew it. I felt it. Dad had to be alive.
Steve, check the blasters on the ship. Gale, go back in the supply and get the equipment ready.
Right. Let's go, Gale.
Where there's life, there's hope, naturally. But where there's life, there's also law of nature. Survival of the fittest. Rocket Ship Ranger 9 came to a halt in a clearing about 1 mile away from where we spotted the Explorer. But it was a mile of tangled undergrowth and strange jungle-type vines. Making our way was slow. Jupiter spins so fast on its axis that you only have about 5 Earth hours of daylight each day. In another hour, it would be dark, and an alien country brings alien problems.
Skipper, I don't know how to say it.
But what?
I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
I don't know.
I didn't want to say anything about it, but so am I. I've been telling myself that there's nothing to be afraid of, but something keeps pounding in my brain that I should be afraid.
I don't have that problem. No brains.
We'll be at the Explorer soon. Maybe it's the anxiety of what we'll find there.
I thought about that, but no. It's something more. It's a fear. Not like being afraid, but something that gnaws inside of you.
The same fear waves that Gale and Steve felt were gnawing inside of me. Ever since we left our ship, I felt as though something was watching us. Perhaps the creatures of this world within were invisible. Or perhaps they controlled thoughts by mental telepathy waves. One thing was certain. We were fighting something that didn't exist as far as we knew.
There it is! The Explorer! Come on, let's hurry!
The ship looks in fair shape, Skipper!
Yeah. Come on, Gale.
I can't. I'm afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
I can't go in the ship. There's something horrible about that. I just can't go.
Grab her, Flaps. We'll get her inside the ship.
No, I don't want to go.
Open the ship's lock. Now listen to me, Gale. What happened out there can be explained.
I'm sorry. Skipper, the fear, it's gone.
I feel it too. The minute I walked into the ship, the fear seemed to disappear.
And the metal of the ship keeps the fear waves from penetrating the brain.
Whose fear waves?
I don't know. Not yet. Find anything around, Steve?
Nothing. Or no one.
Skipper! Behind you! Watch out!
Gale's voice spun me around and I was staring into the face of a walking dead man. Red eyes, sunken deep in a bony face, walking slowly toward me. I reached out, grabbed the half-human being by his torn clothing, and I pulled him toward me. He fell to the ship's floor. His clenched fist relaxed and a piece of paper lay in the palm of his hand.
What does it say?
You can't help us. We are prisoners. Leave Jupiter or you will be too. Henrik Pittman.
Dad, a prisoner. A prisoner of what?
I don't know, but we're not leaving Jupiter until we find out. Flaps, lock up the ship. Steve, give me a hand with our boy on the floor. Gale, see what you can do for him. Maybe he can give us some answers when he comes around.
He's coming around, Skipper.
Good. How do you feel?
Don't hurt me. No, don't hurt me.
Take it easy, fellow. We're not going to hurt you. We're Earthmen.
Earthmen?
Now think carefully about what I'm saying. I'm Ranger Star, and these people are your friends. We're here to find Henrik Pittman and his crew. Were you one of them?
Yes. I'm Matt. Matt Summers. That's it. Matt Summers from the Explorer. You're Earth people.
That's right. I'm Ranger Star, and this is Steve Pittman.
Henrik's son?
Yes.
Your father has spoken of you often.
This is Flaps Anderson and Gale Archer, members of my crew.
Hello.
How do you do?
Now, Matt, we want you to tell us what happened to the Explorer and her crew.
Let's see. We got along fine the first few days after we landed. Then Pittman and all of us had a strange feeling we were being watched.
We had the same feeling.
You would. Well, we took several field trips. We didn't need our space suits.
No, the atmosphere here is exactly like that on Earth.
On one of those trips, panic hit the group. All I remember is Pittman kept shouting, "Back to the ship!" It was horrible. Fear, tormenting fear, exploded in our brains, and we all passed out.
Then you were taken prisoners. By whom?
By the natives here.
What do they look like?
Oh, small, hairy creatures. Fast. They look like a human spider, if such a thing is possible.
Where did they take you?
To a stone sanctuary in the dense jungle.
Did the fear continue?
Not as long as we were in the stone sanctuary. But when we tried to escape, we couldn't get 50 feet away.
What causes this fear?
The natives that think of us as gods. We came out of the world above them. Ever since then, they've held daily meetings, religious services, we imagine, to worship us.
And their fear has kept you prisoners?
Yes. They're able to generate such strong fear waves that they can drive you insane.
How did you manage to get here if you say you couldn't escape?
Pittman made a helmet for me.
Out of what?
Part of his clothing. He packed it with granite sand.
Where is it?
Why? I fell in the jungle and lost it. Couldn't find it any place. I started running, but the fear waves caught me before I reached the ship.
I see.
How are we going to help them, Rock?
I'll tell you later. You get some rest, Matt. It's dark outside now anyway. We'll start for that stone sanctuary the first thing in the morning.
You don't believe Matt's story, do you, Rock?
I don't know.
Somehow I wanted to, but I just...
We'll know tomorrow.
What are you going to do?
As long as we keep metal on our heads, I don't think the fear waves can reach us.
But what do we use? We left our helmets on the ship.
Flaps found 11 in the storehold of this ship. We'll use them. He's checking them now.
Then what?
We'll have Matt lead us to the natives.
But do you feel you can trust Matt?
Yes, you could trust Matt, all right. But the man in there isn't Matt. It's someone using Matt's body. You'll each carry an extra helmet. Tie it to your belt. If for any reason you should lose the one you're wearing, put the other on right away. Those brief few seconds you're without it could give the native sufficient time to generate fear waves into your brain. Any questions? Then we'll move out in route file. Matt, you lead the way. With only 5 hours of daylight, we had to reach the stone sanctuary and try to get back before it became dark. But making our way through the knotted and twisted vine creepers and other jungle vegetation made the going painfully slow. The dense growth kept our visibility down to a few feet, and I kept thinking that in that density waited danger. From out of its depth, death could come. Quickly and silently.
Skipper, over there. I saw something move.
We're nearing the stone palace. I can sense the native.
Just keep walking. We've been followed for a long time.
Followed?
Yes. Flap spotted a native a mile or so back.
That's right.
Could we take a breather?
Have to keep moving. The natives are expecting us.
Over there, Skipper. Look.
It's one of those prehistoric things.
Don't get excited. Everyone get behind me. Keep your blasters in your hand, and if the monster starts for us, use them.
It's coming this way.
Don't move.
What's Matt doing? Look!
Taking off his helmet.
Matt! Matt! Stop!
Why'd you kill him?
I didn't.
But I saw you.
I'll explain later. Wait till the monster gets a few feet away. On my signal, fire your blasters. Come on, we don't have much time.
That must be the stone place Matt talked about.
Give me the spare helmets. You'll all stay here and wait for me.
What are you going to do?
I'm going inside and bringing Pittman and the crew out. If I need any help, I'll signal you. Pittman! Pittman! Henrik Pittman, can you hear me?
Who is it?
Rockstar, Space Ranger. Stand back from the door, I'm blasting it open.
An Earthman? You mean you are real?
I haven't time to explain. How many men in here?
Only three left.
Then all of you follow me.
Okay,
got it.
But I don't understand.
Just do as I say. Come on. The native stopped. We don't have much time.
Here they come.
Dad? Dad! You are alive!
Yes, I...
Save it for later. The natives will be coming up over that rise in just a few seconds. Put your blast charge on 5 and stand by. On my signal, fire into the middle of them.
There they come!
1, 2, 3, fire!
Jumping Jupiter. This is one experience I'll never forget.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I still don't know why you blasted Matt, Skipper.
Henrik Pittman can tell you that.
Matt died 4 Earth months ago.
Died?
But I saw him.
How could he have been with us?
The natives were just using his body to trap us. They projected their will and minds into his brain and just used his physical form.
But the monster...
That was part of the natives' plan, too.
It was controlled by the natives?
Yes. The monster was to get us excited, and the natives were going to take over from there.
Then why did they let us leave without a fight?
Their fear waves lost their power. When I blasted the thing using Matt's body and then the monster, all the fear generated by the natives turned to hate. So instead of worshipping us, they hated us.
Well, what do you know? What do you know? You just can't trust humans and monsters anymore.
On the mystery planet, I'll agree.
Look, Skipper... In the forward scanner, we're going through the dark band. We'll soon be back in good old space.
It sure will be wonderful being home again.
Yes, sir. There's no place like home. No place like it.
There'll be more thrilling adventures in space on strange and far-off worlds with Rockstar Space Ranger. Be sure and be with us then for the exciting and action-packed story, The Dark Nebula. You've been listening to a recreation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater, Space Ranger on the Mystery Planet. In our cast, you heard Rhys Hyatt as Rockstar, Jennifer Newton as Gail Archer, Dan Schindler as Flaps Anderson, Ken Lease as Henrik Pittman, Nick Richa as Steve Pittman, Chuck Royalty as Matt Summers, Linda Rasmussen as Commander Bradford. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Directed and produced by Joy Jackson. Space Ranger was created and written by Tom Hubbard and Fred Eggers and was originally broadcast on May 21, 1953. It starred John Larch with Jane Harlan and Tom Hubbard. I'm Magpie McLaurin, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Here is lovely Laura Leslie, looking slightly perplexed. What's the matter, little girl? What's the matter?
I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms and send him on his way. Don't try to patch it up, tear it up, tear it up. Wash him up, dry him up, push him up, fly him up, cancel him and let him go. Yes, sister, I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way.
Like the ties he wears. But then again, it might be because he sings like this.
Again, this couldn't happen again. This is that once in a lifetime. This is a thrill divine. What's more, never happened before. Though I have prayed for a lifetime that such as you would suddenly be mine. Mine to hold as I'm holding you now, and yet never so near. Mine to have when the now and the here disappear. What matters, dear, for when this doesn't happen again, we'll have this moment forever, but never, never again. holding you now, and yet never so near. Mine to have when the now and the here disappear. What matters, dear, for when this doesn't happen again? We'll have this moment forever, but never, never again.
I was still a Boy Scout in Rocky River, trying to light a fire with two sticks when this tune first came out. And I wish I had a merit badge for every time I've heard it since. Still as popular as ever. Who's Sorry Now? Sunny dispositions are the rule with the 3K Deaths and the K Choir. But I had no idea they carried this far.
There are 24 hours of sunshine every day that you're in love. There are 24 hours of sunshine and flowers and rainbows up above.
The nightfall or anything that might fall, here's one thing you're positive of.
There are 24 hours of sunshine every day that you're in love.
For Victor, of all-time favorites from our dusty manuscript. I took a vote in the band to see just what numbers we should include. And this tune was a unanimous choice. Don Cornell with the K-Deaths and the K-Choir sing it.
Thank you.
on high. His sleepy mate is calling, and my heart is calling.
For today's feature race.
That's the way they call the horses at a lovely park called Belmont, just outside of New York City, where at certain seasons of the year, the citizens gather every afternoon to watch a group of horses run around an oval track. Well, a few weeks ago, I went out there to observe the goings-on, and though I ended up a little lighter in the pocketbook, I did get an idea for a tune. Here's a Swing and Sway band playing it, just as we recorded it for Victor, the Belmont Boogie.
And running. Come into the home stretch.
Been driving that beautiful new Chrysler of his to the beach every day. Say, how about easing that sunburn over here and singing for us, Don?
Every time I meet you for
kiss you. I kiss you for the first time, and my happy heart keeps begging you for more. Every time you thrill me, you thrill me for the first time. The moment is grand and the feeling is so brand new. Every time you leave me, won't you take this thought along with you? I've fallen in love for the first and the last time, too.
The gang gets together, this is the kind of a song that everybody likes to sing. I know that's the way we feel about it. So here are the K-Diff and the entire K-Choir singing.
Cruising down the river on a Sunday afternoon, with one you love, the sun above, waiting for the moon. The old accordion playing, a sand
above all sing of love a gentle sweet refrain. The winds around all make a sound like softly falling rain.
Just two of us together will plan.
Kiss me night, kiss me morning, kiss my little cares away.
Make me sigh, make me tremble, make me flutter like a dove.
Make me sigh, make me tremble, give me lots and lots of love.
Kiss me now,
kiss me later,
kiss me like a sweet potato.
Kiss me sweet,
kiss me simple,
kiss my little cares away.
Kiss my little cares away.
tips my little cares away.
Although young Tony Alamo has been with us for only a short time, he's already made a big hit on our records. With the K Choir, Tony sings one of our latest Victor recordings.
You ask where I live. Here's the address I give. The four winds and the seven seas. The hills were my home till I started to roam. The four winds and the seven seas. My love and I would sit and sigh till the moon grew pale. We vowed and said someday we'd wed in the church in the vale. A train came to town and a stranger stepped down, a smile and so my love could see. She answered his smile, and then after a while, the only stranger there was me. And that is why my heart and I follow every breeze. You ask where I live. Here's the address I give. The four winds and the seven seas. The four winds and the seven seas.
Sunday always follows Saturday. Here are the three cadets to change your mind.
Every night is Saturday night when I'm with you. Any night is a wonderful night when I'm with you. When I think how blue I used to be, how each night I used to be, sitting round with the great big frown, just like my best friend had let me down. It wasn't right on Saturday night when I set out. Dine and dance, looking for romance again about. But a lucky break sent you to me with a thrill so new to me. Now every night is a Saturday night when I'm with you.
summer night, a beautiful Chrysler and a debonair young man who whisper those three little words. Romantic idea, isn't it, girl? Come over here, Tony Alamo, and set the scene.
I love you, I love you. There's no other way. Just one way to say I love you. I love you, I love you. And try as I may, that's all I can say. I love you much more to be said if I thought with my head, but I only can sing with my heart. I love you, I love you, and yearn for the day when you say I love you.
Here's a tune I'll bet you could hum right along with us. It's from Volume 1 of our Dusty Manuscripts. Give me a little kiss.
Will ya, huh?
I wish I could sing. About each other, here are America's sweethearts, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell.
Give me a little kiss, will you, huh?
What am I gonna miss? Tell me, huh?
Gosh, oh, gee, why do you refuse?
I can't see what I've got to lose.
Give me a little hug, will you, huh? Why do you want to make me blue?
I wouldn't say a word if you were asking for the world.
But what's a little kiss between a fella and his girl? Ah, give me a little kiss, will ya, huh? And I'll give it right back to you. And I'll give it right back to you. And I'll give it right back to you.
There are a bunch of tired wooden horses on a merry-go-round in Toledo that'll never forget the night the Swingin' Sway Band came to town. Here's the K Choir to tell you how they feel about merry-go-rounds.
There's merry-go-round, on the merry-go-round. You by my side, while the merry-go music goes round. I haven't a thing, but you know that we're honeymoon bound. When I give you the ring, that I win on the merry-go-round.
Why should we walk in the park? We're in love and there's music tonight. Why should we kiss in the dark? We can kiss by the carousel light. No need for moonlight above. There's a thrill in the waltz that they play. That's why we've fallen in love in our merry-go-round about way.
There's merry-go-round on the merry-go-merry-go-round. You by my side,
fairy go music go round. I haven't to sing, but you know that we're honeymoon bound. When I give you the ring that I win on the merry go round.
That's all the time I have for today. Please check out our website, www.americanradiotheater.org, and listen to our latest podcast. You know, we put up a new one every month. You can also find us hanging out at www.radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelsen Room. That's on Thursday at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern, and on Saturdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Hey, see you there!